Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. I'm joined today by our live blog director, John Rahor. And we're getting ready for a weekend of wild card NFL playoff football. The Packers don't play this weekend, thanks to getting a bye in the first round of the playoffs. Won't be seeing them in action till the divisional round, but we'll be learning the Packers' opponent this weekend. Yes, we will. It'll be interesting because, it's not going to be determined necessarily until Sunday. Now, two of the Packers' possible opponents, or, you know, only one in the divisional round, the other would be in the NFC Championship game, but Detroit takes on New Orleans on Saturday night, and that game happens to be broadcasted on NBC. And if Detroit wins that game, it's automatic. Packers would play Detroit in the divisional round because they are the number six seed, the lowest seeded team in the NFL. How it works is after the first round of the playoffs, everything's reseeded again. The Packers, no matter who wins, who whatever, they play the lowest seed in the NFC. And that would be Detroit if they win. Now, if New Orleans happens to win, then we wouldn't find out the Packers' opponent until Sunday. On Sunday at noon Central Time on Fox, Atlanta travels to New York to take on the Giants. And if New Orleans wins, the Packers would play the winner of that game. Automatically, if New Orleans wins. So, it's going to kind of keep the Packers' interest throughout the weekend. Going to be interested in see what happens on Saturday. And if the Detroit wins, well, that's who they play. But if Detroit loses, then it kind of extends all the way to Sunday to find out who the Packers play next. So, kind of an interesting weekend of football, and of course everything going on in the AFC side of the bracket as well. One of those teams could possibly end up seeing the Packers in the Super Bowl. And it was 1 year ago that the Packers were the number six seed and taking off all the higher seeded teams along the way, picking them off along the way to a Super Bowl. So it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out, and the Packers are the hunted and no longer the hunter. Well, they're still hunting for a Super Bowl win themselves, but every lower-seeded team will be looking to pick off the Packers along the way in their 15-1 record. So how's everybody doing this morning? Thank you everybody so much for joining us here at Railbird Central. I see the live blog is hopping already. If you want to comment, feel free to comment away or tweet with the hashtags Railbird, the hashtags CheeseheadTV, or use our Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. All those are great ways to get through to us here at the show. If you want to as well, feel free to call in. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. You can feel free to call in at any time and share your thoughts there as well. Let's get right to it. I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you scroll up and follow along, top story today, Packers season ticket waiting list now at 96,000 people. How about that? 96,000 people. That's pretty much a whole nother stadium the Packers could fill with just people on the season ticket waiting list. And if you're on the season ticket waiting list, normally you don't get just one ticket. You get two or even four. So that's kind of how it works. So if you kind of expand that, I mean, it's not like 96,000 seats. That's 96,000 at least times two. So just to put in perspective how big that number actually is. There's more owners, though, for the Packers than there are people on the season ticket waiting list. By far, what if the backers have already sold about 250,000 shares in the team? So, and that's just this current time that they've sold stock in the Packers, not including the last time they did back in, what was it, 1997, and before that as well. So, you know, it just goes to show you how far Packer fandom reaches. Question from Kurt Kozad on the live blog. Did any Packers player buy stock in 1997? That's a good question. You know, of course, we've heard the past, you know, several weeks, months here that current players on the Packers have bought stock. Of course, tight end Tom Crabtree. I think I've also heard that defensive tackle Ryan Pickett has bought stock in the Packers. I believe I've heard that long snapper Brett Goud has bought stock in the Packers. On top of that, I'm not sure of too many more. There certainly could be far more that I just don't know about, but would be interesting to see how many players do own stock in the Packers. Question here from Fran. Why don't the Packers take tickets off people who sell on StubHub, etc. every week? I guess the answer to that question would be is because people who sell their tickets on StubHub are probably selling them for, you know, far more than the face price. You know, if you know, I know it's tough for me to even get into ticket prices because I know they're different prices just based upon where you sit, but you know, just for example, if a playoff ticket next week in the divisional round is $100 face price, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's I'm in the ballpark there. $100 face price ticket, you know, people on StubHub are selling them for $150, $200 probably. So if the Packers do buy those tickets and then turn around and sell them again, well, you know, the Packers themselves can't sell them for profit. So you know, if the Packers ever did have extra tickets, not that they ever do, but if they did, they have to sell them for face price. So they'd be taking a loss there. But, you know, everything I've seen, there are tickets available on the secondary ticket market for especially the divisional round game. And tickets get a little more expensive for the championship round game. John Rahor on our live blog saying StubHub had tickets for $169. I'm assuming that's for the divisional round. So they are available if you're willing to pay the price. Oh, here we go. Question from Fran on the live blog. Why not cancel their season tickets? There we go. So if fans are selling their tickets on StubHub, why wouldn't the Packers cancel their season tickets? I guess it's just a matter of probably the research that would go into it. You would have to find out exactly, you know, who's selling these tickets and then the exact seat locations and then match it up. I'm just sure the Packers probably don't have the resources to do that. Kurt Kozad comments on the live blog. It's a free market, supply and demand. Yeah, I think the Packers also think that, you know, it's understandable if fans want to sell their tickets to an extent. I mean, you certainly don't want to see fans sell all their tickets, selling all their tickets to a secondary market or things like that, or selling them to out-of-town fans. But I just know personally, my family is season ticket holders, and it's expensive. I mean, when you're talking about 8 games a year, and you know, including the preseason, it's not cheap. So I mean, every once in a while, my family sells their tickets, you know, tries to sell them to fans, acquaintances, things like that first. But, you know, so, you know, that's why. I mean, it's understandable that people sell their tickets once in a while. I suppose personally, you know, in terms of the playoffs and things like that, you would think there wouldn't be quite as many tickets out there available. You would think those who own the season tickets would, you know, want to go to the playoff games, especially, you know, see the Packers in the playoffs, possibly make a trip to the Super Bowl, things along those lines. But anyway, so that's the news of the season ticket waiting list coming out yesterday, up to 96,000 people. So getting on close to six digits. When they reach that 100,000 mark, we'll probably learn of that as well. Other news in the Packers Daily Links yesterday, the second story down, all hands on deck yesterday at practice, one day after center Scott Wells and inside linebacker DJ Smith sat out of Wednesday's practice. They were back on Thursday. And now we are in a situation with the Packers only had one single player miss practice yesterday, and that is running back James Starks. And even I heard reports that he was working out on the side, things like that, kind of showing that his injury probably isn't very serious. I even guess perhaps that he'd probably be able to return to practice at some point next week. So the Packers are a picture of health heading into their divisional round next weekend when they get prepared to take on an NFC opponent. Good to see Scott Wells return to practice. Of course, the Pro Bowler now, Pro Bowl center Scott Wells, getting that honor just a week ago or so. A little bit of a concern seeing him miss practice because he is such a valuable member of the offense and the team as a whole. And, you know, the Packers have not been required this week, seeing as they don't play, to give an injury report. So, you know, the Packers haven't had to disclose anything why Wells may have missed practice. They did find out that DJ Smith was just ill, and that's why he missed one day. But they're both back now. And, you know, I would assume it's a situation where it's really nothing too serious, nothing anybody's going to worry about. In other news, Packers lost a member of their front office yesterday. Reggie McKenzie is now the general manager of the Oakland Raiders. And congratulations to Reggie McKenzie. He's been a member of the Packers front office for a long time now, has done a good job. His title, let's see, is I think it's Director of Player Personnel. Pardon me, I see right here, it's Director of Football Operations is Reggie McKenzie's title, or was his title with the Packers. Now General Manager of the Raiders. And, you know, good for him. I mean, he's been an integral part of what the Packers have done, including their Super Bowl victory last year. I know he's heavily involved in scouting on both the pro and the college side. You know, I think he's probably, if I'm correct, like kind of second in command to General Manager Ted Thompson. At least that's what he was with the Packers. You know, God forbid anything happened to Ted Thompson, become ill, something like that. I think, you know, Reggie McKenzie would kind of have been second in command, kind of taken over there and having to see both the pro scouting and the college scouting, oversee both aspects of it. So he was heavily involved in all that and, you know, making personnel decisions. His input would go into not only the draft when the Packers, you know, select college players, but then, you know, picking up pro players as well, the guys they pick up off the street, the mid-season acquisitions. You know, last year there were so many of them the Packers had to pick up along the way, contributors like Howard Green, Eric Walden. This year, you know, just a couple weeks ago, picking up Herb Taylor, you know, things like that. Guys that have, you know, played in the NFL for several years have now been out of college for several years. Reggie McKenzie giving his input on that, overseeing those kind of things. So, you know, congratulations to him now with Oakland Raiders, and wish him the best of luck, and hope he wins every game that they do not play the Packers. That's the way it goes, right? So he can win every game as far as I'm concerned, just as long as the Packers take care of business when they play the Raiders. So, and I do think the Raiders do have a good nucleus out there of players. I like the players they got. I love Darren McFadden. I just love him. Always have since his days in Arkansas. I really think he's talented. And, you know, they got a good quarterback there in Carson Palmer now. I'm a little bit dubious about how much the Raiders had to give up to get Carson Palmer, two first-round draft choices. You know, maybe with Reggie McKenzie at the helm, they won't be quite making deals like that where they have to give up quite so much. But regardless, I think there's some stability there, at least at the position. And anyhow, so good luck to him. And you know, all sorts of news going on. And, you know, it has been going on for several days about people with connections to the Packers getting jobs elsewhere. I think the Patriots lost their offensive coordinator yesterday, going to take the head coach job at Penn State, which in turn means Tom Clements, quarterbacks coach Tom Clements, will officially not be getting that job. Clements was considered a candidate for that job, had reportedly interviewed for that job, and now will not be getting it, and you know, will be sticking with the Packers for at least the time being until he gets any more job offers. And then offensive coordinator Joe Philbin not only interviewed for the head coach job of the Chiefs earlier this week, he's apparently going to be interviewing with the Miami Dolphins either today or tomorrow. So we got that to watch as well. And you know, it's one of those things, if Joe Philbin moves on, you wonder if Tom Clements maybe is elevated to the offensive coordinator position. Is Edgar Bennett elevated to the offensive coordinator position? I've heard speculation about both those people, and the Packers kind of going to have a choice to make there. And, you know, we're making a couple of assumptions here and jumping to conclusions. I mean, Joe Philbin has not gotten a job anywhere else, first of all. Just speculating on the fact that he may or might, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But if he were to, what would you do? Who would be the next offensive coordinator? Would it be Clements? Would it be Bennett? Would it be somebody else? I would assume those two people currently on the staff would be the top choices, at least. Forced to guess, I would guess Clements would be the Packers' next choice as offensive coordinator, just based upon his experience. A little older, Edgar Bennett just making the move to wide receivers coach this year, could possibly use a little more seasoning as a position coach. How much longer, though, can the Packers hold on to a guy like Edgar Bennett, though? You know, if he's just stuck as a position coach, you never know. So it's speculation is what it is. I mean, I don't have the answer. John Rahor comments on the live blog, it seems like they're trying to move Edgar Bennett up the ladder quickly. Comment from Kurt Kozad, hopefully they can bring Amon Green as a running back coach. I know Amon Green is currently working for the Big Ten Network, isn't he? I wonder how committed he is to that job. Just recently saw the other day that Amon Green is going to be receiving the Red Smith Award, award given to people with connections, community service, things like that, given away in the Green Bay area. But anyhow, it's fun to speculate to an extent about all these things that could happen. It's the speculation is less fun when it's guys leaving the Packers, but it's more fun when you're talking about guys getting promotions. That's always good news when people get promoted with from within, especially. And then you're talking about who do the Packers replace at the position coaches. Probably bringing in new people from outside the organization, perhaps. I don't know. You know, we can talk about here and speculate, will Reggie McKenzie now take anyone from Green Bay to Oakland? There was word that McKenzie would be interested in taking Elliot Wolf with him out to Oakland. Elliot Wolf is in the Packers front office. Of course, he's the son of Packers, former Packers general manager Ron Wolf, who's, you know, very well known for getting the Packers to the Super Bowl back in 1996. But Wolf has been getting promotions, been working his way up through the Packers organization, and, you know, fairly sought, highly thought of, at least based upon the fact that he keeps getting promoted. And, does he go to Oakland? Does Reggie McKenzie take him with him? Again, we don't know. I saw a tweet from Elliot Wolf saying that he can't understand why everyone thinks people would want to move away from Green Bay, or that they want to get away from where they are. It kind of sounded like he's happy where he is with the Packers right now. And he's young. I mean, Elliot Wolf, if he's 30 years old, that's pushing it. Seriously, I really don't know if he is even 30 years old yet. You know, fairly young guy. So, you know, there's still a lot for him to learn in terms of the NFL, the way it works, and, you know, still tons more for him to do, and has plenty of time to climb up the NFL ladder. So, I'm being ridiculed on the live blog from Annie for my comments on age about 30. I don't mean that in a negative term at all. I'm just saying Elliot Wolf is a pretty young guy yet. John Rahor picking up the exact tweet here from Elliot Wolf. I can't wrap my head around why people think we all want to leave. So you can take that as saying that he doesn't want to leave, perhaps happy is where he is. And now I suppose it could be a situation where Elliot Wolf will just be elevated again. Maybe he takes over Reggie McKenzie's departed spot in the Packers front office. Maybe he comes director of football operations. More speculation. Anyhow, want to talk about some players? Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, QB1, kind of shook off the notion that he would be rusty. I like the article from Chris Jenkins of the Associated Press pointing out that it will have been 20 days since the last time Aaron Rodgers played quarterback for the Packers. He played against the Bears in the Week 16 win on Christmas Day. But, of course, this past week, everybody knows the job that Matt Flynn has done by now. Aaron Rodgers not playing at all. So you combine that with the bye the Packers have this week, and it's pretty much almost 3 weeks between games that Aaron Rodgers will have gone between appearances when the divisional round comes around next week once again. And so, will he be rusty? I don't think so. I mean, we can go back to this offseason. Remember all the talk about the Packers offseason program? They were one of the few teams in the NFL that didn't have large-scale player workouts. And, you know, that was really the talk of the offseason. Came up many, many times. And the Packers have since gone on to beat, of course, the New Orleans Saints in Week 1 and go 15-1 in the regular season. So they didn't get rusty with a whole offseason. Didn't get rusty at all. And, you know, you've seen Aaron Rodgers take small breaks before. He himself pointed out that they take breaks in the preseason action. He doesn't play a whole lot in game one of the preseason, doesn't play a whole lot in game four of the preseason. And so, you know, there's almost you know, if he plays one series in those game or two, it's almost like being off. And then, he every week he has a bye week as well in the middle of the year. This year he comes back from the bye week against the San Diego Chargers and just absolutely torches them. So, I don't foresee Aaron Rodgers being, quote unquote, rusty. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. I mean, it's so weird. People try to apply, things like that to a bad performance. It's sports. 50% of the teams lose all the time. 50%. Two teams play, one of them's going to lose, and it's like you always try to look for reasons with their losing. I mean, it's just sometimes it's just a bad game. I mean, that's the way it works. It doesn't always have to necessarily have to be this ulterior motive behind reasons people lose. Colleen says, that sounds like a high percentage. It's amazing, isn't it? You forget sometimes as a fan of the Packers that 50% of teams lose every game. When you're a fan of the Packers, you especially lately, you're used to winning. Anyhow, so the Packers getting ready this weekend for a appearance next week in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Yeah, I've said this before. If I could pick a team that the Packers would play, I'd want to see them play. It would be the Detroit Lions, I guess, because the Packers have already beat them twice this year. I think they've got their number, and I just don't think they pose quite as much of a threat as, like, the New York Giants. I don't know. It might be a tough call between the Falcons and the Lions for me. But anyway, it also comes down to, though, I see it this way as well. If, again, I'm jumping to conclusions here, but if the Lions happen to beat the Saints on Saturday, I mean that's going to show that the Lions are pretty good. I mean, everybody kind of thinks the Saints are really hot right now, right? I mean, it's not even really a question. The Saints are hot. Nobody wants to really, have to play them if they don't have to. So if the Lions are good enough to beat the Saints, well, then, that shows the Lions are going to be pretty good as well. Colleen on the live blog says, we will be playing the Falcons. That's going out on a limb right there. The Falcons having to go into New York and win there. Against a team that's pretty hot themselves, the New York Giants. The last time the Giants lost was to your Green Bay Packers in Week 13. They've won every game since then. Oh, Colleen adds that she was joking. Not. Will not be playing the Falcons. But it's... No matter who the Packers face, they all present their own unique capabilities. They pose their own unique threats. With the Lions, it's Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh. Some of their better players on the team. Not to say that they're the only ones. Matt Stafford's having a pretty good season himself. But, with the Giants, it's Jason Pierre-Paul and Eli Manning. How about that stat that Eli Manning has thrown the most fourth quarter touchdowns in NFL history this year? Kind of surprised me. I had never really thought about it. It never crossed my mind until I saw that stat. Pretty impressive, though. Most fourth quarter touchdowns in NFL history. Impressive. I mean, Eli Manning, say what you will about him. He's probably not considered one of the top NFL quarterbacks, but, he is solid, and he does get the job done. Of course, He has a Super Bowl ring to his name. He can get the job done. I think he does need a solid supporting cast around him, but that's a quarterback you can win with. That's my two cents on Eli Manning. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for joining us today here on Railbird Central. Enjoy the NFL action this weekend. Wild card round. Enjoy the bowl games. If you're into college football as well, I know I'll be. And we will see you here back again on Monday morning for another episode of Railbird Central. Make sure to check out our blog all the time as we continue with Packers coverage throughout the week, 24/7, 365 days a year. But thanks, everyone. For John Rayhor, our live blog director, thank you so much for joining us today. I leave you with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go. See ya.